Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Doug Killer, your host, here with Grant Rubendust. Hey, Grant. Grant, I think you're muted.
Hey.
There we go.
There I am. Gosh, you know, I was playing with the Ouija board there for a second. Busted out my little portable Ouija board.
Yeah, that's good. Always good to have that at your side.
Oh, absolutely. It's a must-have.
Well, today is Thursday, February 25th, 2010. It is our 102nd show. Amazing, huh?
Yeah, got it. Time flies when you're having fun.
And tonight, we're going to kind of have an open discussion. We're going to welcome your call-ins if you so desire. If you've got something on your mind and you want to talk about it, of course, anomalous research related, we'd love to hear from you. The numbers are on your screen, 347-945-7799, or you can use the click to talk button. If you also want to join us in the chat room, we'll take questions or comments there. And tonight we are just going to have an open discussion on a number of different things that just come to mind. Grant and I have discussions like this quite often, and we're going to share it. We're going to share the
love. Yeah, we're going to spread the wealth tonight. We're going to share the love, no doubt about it.
So, you know, 102 shows we've done, and we really haven't talked much about ourselves, Grant. We haven't really gotten into, you know,
our deep, dark secrets and the skeletons in our closet, and tonight we're going to do that?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
all right.
Talk about all of the skeletons except, you know, that one.
Okay. All right. Well, we can go to. So what are we going to do? We're going to talk a little bit about ourselves and what brought us into the field?
Yeah, and then we'll branch off into anthropology and
okay.
Other
all right, that sounds good to
you
me.
You want to start? Tell us what makes Grant. Where'd you come from? What's your story?
Came from the Midwest originally, and I got interested in this field with primarily because of my father. You know, my dad was an engineer, and he was always interested in aviation, and so was I. And I remember as a kid, you know, him talking to me about flying saucers. He wasn't really big into ghosts or anything. He was pretty much of a skeptic about ghosts. But, you know, he was always interested in UFOs, and he was interested in Bigfoot, too. So I think I've talked about it before. I remember as a kid, my dad read True Magazine, and he brought me a copy of True Magazine with one of the first reports that I'd ever heard of Bigfoot. And I'm guessing that would have been about 1958 or 1959. And he let me read the article, and I was just thrilled. Mm-hmm. And absolutely astounded at the same time. And over the years, you know, because my interest has kind of gone into this area, I read extensively and just tried to, you know, grab as much information as I can and like a sponge, and like many of us do, like yourself, you know, we are fascinated by it, and it's kind of fun being part of what people would normally label as a lunatic fringe. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to really call thinking out of the box. Yeah. And so, that's basically it. I've never lost my interest because there always seems to be something around the corner, or there's that case that has a little fascinating detail that some of the others don't. So you kind of get a glimpse of, you know, part of the picture, or maybe part of what the trickster's putting on for us.
Well, there's so. Tell us about your secular background too, though. That really.
Oh well, you know, I've worked in the field of human services for most of my life. I've been a government employee and worked in a number of agencies, with you know, from mental health all the way to people who have disabilities and addictions. And so I've always been fascinated because, and I think it's a part of, very much a part of doing anomalous research, is the fascinating thing that makes us so uniquely human. It's that I think all humans are all interested in mystery, and it's part of what makes us tick. And humans, in my experience, are something that everybody's unique. Everybody has a different perspective, and so everybody has something to share. So it doesn't matter in what capacity you work with folks, whether you're working as a helper or whether you're working, you know, as a customer service representative. You know, people are very interesting and they have a different point of view. So, you know, that part probably helped kind of pique my interest. And I think to some degree, and you and I have talked about this before, you have to be intuitive to some degree. Now, if you hear other folks talk, maybe, you know, Gregory or some other people, who they might think that, well, you know, Grant might have a little bit more than he claims, but you know, I don't know about that. I don't know. I think, you know, intuition, you just have a sense.
Yeah, but you're very intuitive. I mean, you've worked in the mental health field, and that's what your career is in.
Yeah, and it's been, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to honk your own horn here, dude.
Well, you know, it's been, like I said, I've been very fortunate. You know, I just kind of stumbled into it after I got out of the military many years ago, and took a couple of psychology courses at a community college level, and just said, hey, that sounds really interesting. I like to hook up with people who know a little bit more about it, and ended up working in an institution with, you know, severely people with severe psychiatric disorders. And I've rubbed elbows with psychiatrists and psychologists, and I really have to say, and college professors, and I really have to say that the greatest experience I ever had and the most beneficial to me to become a competent person in the field was the experiences I had in the hospital as a tech.
Well, you know, that's a lot of experience.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a first-hand experience. I got to sit in the psychiatric interviews, and it was always very interesting. You know, some of the stuff that was said was so off the wall, you wouldn't believe it. But yeah, that's basically me. So,
so where are you going from here? I mean, you want
to? Well, I'm working to get my license here in the state of Florida. You know, you can have a master's degree here, but you know, I think it's based on the right thing here in Florida. I think, you know, a lot of our elderly population has been manipulated and exploited. And, I mean, you know, Doug, it happens, whether the people are roofers or whether they're putting in a water system, you know. And so I think, much to the state of Florida's credit, they're very rigorous in who they license. And so after a person does, you know, does a master's degree program, then you have to sit for 2 more years under somebody that really knows their stuff, and then you, after your 2 years of doing an internship, then you can sit for the test.
So you're working on that, and then you're going to become a...
Hopefully become a licensed mental health counselor, and, you know, I hope to do some work in addictions, and Gregory and I have kind of talked a little bit about doing some grief counseling, because I would really like to incorporate Gregory, because if folks don't know it, Gregory is an ordained minister in the Spiritualist Church, and I have a very high regard for the Spiritualists. I don't always agree with everything that they say, but I agree with a great deal of it, and I think that you know, their emphasis on healing is what attracts me the most.
Yep. And the reason that we're talking about some of this stuff, too, it looks like we've lost a few. The reason we're talking about this is to give an idea on where we're at with anomalous research and why we're where we're at with anomalous research. So we're kind of building up to that. And after 102 shows, we've really never got into our own backgrounds
We have not tooted our horns that much because we really wanted to make it an educational and an entertaining sort of format at the same time. But, you know, that to us, that wasn't all that important. It was that we were trying to, you know, get other folks as fired up as we were. And I think anybody that you talk to in the field, if they're really serious about it, when they do get involved and they do find that, it's just, that a lot of folks are very supportive out there, that just fires you up even more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing that, you know, I think that's important, the audience, you know, needs to know and probably doesn't know about us, is that we kick around this stuff a lot, and we kick this around, and one of the things we have touched on in many of our shows is the necessity for groups or investigators to evolve, and that's what we're kind of talking about is that process of evolution, because we've come quite a ways from where we first started, and I think you lose your effectiveness as a investigator if you're not continuing to evolve.
Mm-hmm. I concur, and that's what we have preached the whole time, is that evolution. You know, growing as people, growing as human beings. Well, let me talk a little bit about my background.
Yeah, let folks know. First of all, where'd you come from? Where's home for you?
Well, I was born in Salt Lake City, Utah, and when I was 11 years old, we moved to Denver, Lakewood area. So I grew up really, for the most part, in the Denver area, Lakewood, Green Mountain. And when I was 19, family moved up to the Black Hills, South Dakota, specifically Spearfish. And I lived there for 18 years, most of it in Spearfish, a couple of years in Rapid City. Back in the day, went to school and got a degree in electronics and went into the office equipment business. I worked on fixing copiers for quite a few years, computers, typewriters, fax machines, things like that. And then after about 7 or so years of doing that, I needed something else. I went into sales, did pretty well at that. Did that for a couple of years for the company I was working with, and then I started my own office equipment dealership. I was a Konica and Savin dealer, Minolta, for a little bit there. And those were my backgrounds in terms of brands. So I was able to pick those up, and I had a company in Rapid City, Black Hills Copiers, for about 6 years. And amazing experience. Learned a lot about management, training, leadership, and all that stuff doing that. And then in 1996... frankly, just got tired of the snow and the cold, and that's when I moved down here to the Punta Gorda, Florida area. So I've been
the lovely Punta Gorda, we just supposedly have a UFO flight in Punta Gorda.
I was probably sitting here looking at my computer.
And I got to tell the audience, I was really disappointed that Doug didn't invite me down to see it either. You know,
I want to keep it all for myself.
Yeah, I know. It's sitting right over your house as we speak now, probably.
Yeah, they're probably getting ready to beam me up.
Giant triangle.
So I've been here, and when I got here, I spent 3 years in the as a investment rep for Edward Jones, and after that, I had always wanted to get into professional speaking, and I did a lot of professional speaking while I was an investment rep, but I wanted to get into it full-time, so I left there and went to work for a company for about a year teaching technical analysis software, which is an investment thing. And then after that, I went on my own. There was a little dry spell, so I got my hypnosis certification, and I opened a hypnosis practice, did that for about a year and a half, and then I was able to pick up contracting for two different seminar companies. National Seminars is one, Fred Pryor / Career Track was the other. And I did that for 5 years. I was on the road, oh man, up to almost 40 weeks a year for 5 years traveling, and I left that because I was just frankly sick and tired of the airlines and traveling. Left that a couple of years ago, and I've been still continuing to be self-employed and do a few things online here and there. But so that's the secular thing. The thing that I think really is what has helped me tremendously is not so much the secular experience has, but it's the personal experience for me that has been responsible for the most growth, most of my personal growth over the years. And And, you know, it's the old story. I grew up in an alcoholic home. My mom was an alcoholic. I grew up and married somebody who had a propensity for that, and sure enough, that came to be. And so, you know, I was married to her for 18 years. Most of it very troublesome, but the alcoholism got so bad that I had to leave her, and that was back in 99. And, of course, I had my son, I still have my son, but he was pretty young at the time. He was about 12, and it was killing him. And so what I did was I searched for answers. You know, how can I resolve this? How can I fix this problem? I mean, I grew up so codependent, you can't even imagine it. I mean, I didn't even know. And I couldn't really find anything, and so I ended up developing my own program, which I call Empowered Recovery, and it's online, empoweredrecovery.com, and I ended up writing a book for alcoholic relationships, which has helped thousands of people, and I've still got it today. I've still got a forum with several hundred people on it and people mending. So that's been around, and I've been doing that.
That's one of the things that brought us together, too, at the very beginning.
Yeah, that story.
I had read Doug's book, and I had recommended it to a couple folks that had. I think Doug's book is very effective for folks that are really enmeshed in a very difficult situation. And so I thought it was very therapeutic for folks. So before I even knew that I had bumped into Doug as a member of the Spirit Team, I had read his book about recovery and had recommended it to several people that I worked with. And then when I decided that I was going to get involved and when I really wanted to, and I have to tell you quite honestly, I was spurred on by some of the early Ghost Hunter shows because I thought, wow, I'd really like to experience this for myself. You know, I've never been in a situation where it's haunted. How would I react? How much of it is individual perception, yada, yada, yada. And so when I was looking around here, and Doug lives in Punta Gorda, Florida. I live in Bradenton, Florida, which is just a little bit south of Tampa. I looked through a lot of places that were on the internet, and some of them were just a little bit too new agey for me. And I stumbled across the Spirit Team, and much to my surprise, Doug was the founder of the Spirit Team. And sent him an email, and shortly thereafter, went to listen to him speak. And Doug's a very accomplished speaker, and I have to admit, the first time I went to hook up to talk to somebody in the group, Doug and a couple of his other members, it was in Bartow, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug was given he was going to have a little speaking engagement. And I'm thinking to myself on the way out there, because it's about an hour and a half ride from where I'm at, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be going out to the middle of the boondoggles out there in the middle of Florida in this courthouse, and there's probably going to be 10 people there. And I have to tell you, folks, much to my surprise, I got out there, there was over 100 people.
There was over 160.
God, it was unbelievable. I was just absolutely stunned. And that's how I first came on board with the Spirit Team. But, wow, I wish I could say that every other seminar we did had that many.
Yeah, I know.
But it was very interesting because that many people were interested. And you know, to this day, one of the things, and this will fit into what we're talking about too, is the number of people that really wanted to come forward. And the Bartow community is a very, if you're not familiar with Florida, it's a very conservative, old farming community. And they're salt of the earth, good people. But you know what? There are folks there that were very reluctant to come up and share any experience. Well, as you recall that, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
They were reluctant to even talk about it.
Mm-hmm. There were who did ask questions.
But you know, the one of the reasons why I said that is I was not. I was just a spectator that evening, and I heard people as you were talking. I was standing in the back. And I heard people walking out going, I'm not going to tell so-and-so that because nobody believed me anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's typical. That's par for the course, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
people don't
want
to come off and think, have others think they're crazy.
Well, I mean, look, I was just talking to you and I think Mike about this the other day. And, you know, how many times have you been in a group of folks and somehow the topic of, you know, something anomalous comes up and you make a statement about it and people look at you like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like you just stepped out of, you know, like from, you know, one universe to the next. And then, you know, or people just go like, well, that's just a little bit too out there for me. So, you know, I mean, I never take offense at folks like that, but it just never ceases to amaze me that people can't think out of the box that much,
mm-hmm.
that their world has to be that safe and secure. So,
well, you know, another thing I wanted to mention, too, that I think is responsible for where I'm at in the anomalous research field is my experience in a cult. You know, I was raised Jehovah's Witness, and I was very active in it. I mean, I was an elder for 7 years, and I got out of that about 11 years ago. I guess it's been back in 99, about the same time my marriage crashed. And my, you know, from the my ex-wife, who was an alcoholic, she's no longer with us. She died of alcoholism here about 5 years ago. And the thing the reason I bring up the cult is because this whole thinking for yourself thing, even as a witness, I'd heard the critics, well, you know, these people can't think for themselves. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I think for myself all the time. And it was true. However, it was within a very rigid set of parameters, a very narrow set of parameters. And when I left that, you know, I mean, the scales dropped. The whole world opened up. And I'd always been interested in paranormal stuff, mysteries and different things. And so for the first time in my life, I was able to act on it because I could never do that as a witness. So, you know, there was a lot of existential crises going, you know, coming out of that. You know, I grew up thinking, knowing and could prove that the sky was green, and I woke up one day and it's blue. So, you know, a lot of existential stuff. But got through that, got into anomalous research, you know, several years ago. I was inspired, too, by the onslaught of some of the programs, the paranormal programs. But I'd been watching the documentaries for years anyway. So that's a little bit about Grant and I as human beings. And, you know, there's a lot more to both of our stories, but that's the gist of it. And that brings us up to, you know, where we've come from. I mean, we started out the Spirit Team. I founded the Spirit Team about 5 years ago or so. And, you know, we met Grant a few months later after that, and Gregory. They both met them both the same night in Bartow, Florida. And we just started, you know, doing our thing, you know, started growing. And it was amazing because it was not too long before I just couldn't stand the term ghost hunter. I'm just never a ghost hunter. And so, you know, outgrew that. And then just one thing after another. And then here a couple years ago, finally got an opportunity to do a UFO case, and that further divided the Spirit Team. Some of the members wanted to just stick with a ghost hunting fair, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, so that separated. And, you know, then Paranexus came along, and it just became obvious to me that I needed to branch out, because I'd always been more interested in UFOs than I ever was in the haunting part of it. But so Paranexus comes along and got involved in that and dissolved the Spirit Team, and you know, here we are. And just it's just a matter of meeting people and sharpening each other and learning from each other and rethinking the field. And that's where this whole para-anthropology concept comes in. I mean, I've been a counselor. I am a counselor. I am a life coach. And I've always had a deep interest in psychology. And I don't know, what is it, a year ago or less than a year ago, Grant, you were over here one day and you made the remark para-anthropology, because we've been talking about cultural anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that fascinated me. And that's what really fascinates me about this whole thing. And as we continue to grow in this field of anomalous research, and we see all these cases that, you know, turn out to not be real, you got to start scratching your head and saying, well, what's going on here? You know, so many people seem to have these paranormal experiences, and yet so many of these turn out to be really nothing, turn out to be psychology, turn out to be natural explanations. And so the thing that has fascinated me, and I know fascinates Grant, is the anthropological aspect of it, the psychological aspect of it. What is the cause? Why is it? Of course, we talked about belief systems, and that's, of course, a major player is belief systems and culture and so forth. So, you know, we're really focusing more on this whole human condition thing. You know, what is responsible for all of these various reports, not only in hauntings, but parapsychology, ufology, and even abductions, which is a fascinating field. So that's what we're focusing on more and more all the time, to understand what's going on and why it is. Because in my opinion, if we discover that there is life after death, or that there are extraterrestrial entities around, that's obviously a phenomenal thing for the human condition, for the human race. If we discover that none of that's true, by the same token, it's still a phenomenal thing because so many people report it.
But also it came from us. Mm-hmm. It came from our imagination. So it just shows the dimension of the human spirit, or the versatility of the human mind, you know, what it's capable of doing. And, you know, I think a lot of people lose sight of, just within my own development over the last 2 years, I have to attribute a lot of that to, some of our contact with Dr. Roll.
Yeah.
Dr. Roll has really influenced a great deal in how I approach, and the way my thinking is in approaching this. And, I think it's, if I contrast how I was before we had the privilege of talking to him, I think there's a big difference. And that's one of the things that I really admire about Dr. Roll's research, is the fact that, you know, he pretty much believes that this is, I'm not going to try to speak for the doctor, but my interpretation is that he believes this is something that's uniquely human.
Mm.
And that's where we need to be looking. It's in that direction.
At least first.
Yeah, not looking underneath stones or looking for magic wands or, looking for demons, because they're not there, probably.
Yeah, well, definitely demons, except for your head.
Yeah, how many times have we run across a demonic entity, Doug?
Never.
All the years we researched. Not once.
Yeah.
Which troubles me when you have a group that runs into them weekly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And you know the thing that you mentioned, Dr. Roll, I remember on our first interview a couple years ago, that I asked him point blank, do you believe in ghosts and spirits? And he said no. And that amazed me. And it always, I guess, bothered me even. How can you say that? And I still stand by that. How can you say that? But by the same token, the interesting thing is that, you know, the very thing that I was demanding of, or that I demand of those people who say there is no such thing, I say, well, all right, prove it. But then by the same token, I need to prove it the other direction too. Not that I am an automatic believer, but, you know, there's got to be some substantiation here for whatever we claim. And that led into the responsible research. That led into credibility, to protecting your reputation, being careful not to go out on a limb without any substantiation. So all of that stuff worked to refine us as investigators, as researchers, and that's a good thing.
And, you know, we're still evolving. I mean, we were talking today about some ideas for how we're going to evolve, how we want to do certain things. And, you know, we have really come full circle. And at the risk of boring our audience, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, I mean, we've really moved into a total different phase. And you know, we're excited about the new phase that we're going to take. And
and Grant's talking specifically about a local endeavor that we're going to start up.
Yeah, and one of the things that we always did enjoy that I know that I can speak safely for you too, is that regardless of the outcome of the investigation, we always enjoyed going out, meeting the people, getting to know them, and getting it from their perspective.
Yeah.
And the more we've talked about this, that's where the really fascinating, research is. It's like, who are these people? Why do they believe what they believe?
Yeah.
Do they have an element? Are they possibly psychic? You know, and I think that we were talking earlier today, and it was my contention that maybe 2%, if not less, of the people that we've investigated, there was nothing paranormal there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't say I would be an absolute bald-faced liar to tell our audience that I feel that I've actually experienced something paranormal. I can't say that I have. I've experienced things that I think are intriguing, but I've never experienced, you know, I wanted to get pinched or slapped or something like that, you know, because I slap back. No,
I'll pinch you.
Yeah, okay. Woo! But, you know what I'm talking about. We always used to laugh about, you know, we couldn't wait to catch up to the, how did you put it, Doug? The one time I said the meanest entity that ever, the biggest non-existing entity that never drew a breath.
Yeah, really.
But, yeah, we're waiting for the case that's going to knock our socks off. And, of course, you know what? We'll share it with you.
Mm-hmm. So, and as far as cases that knock your socks off, I mean, I had the one case that I did with Stan Romanek in Colorado here a couple years ago. And, you know, I mean, I had the water faucet turn on by itself 10 feet from me with nobody there. And, you know, we had the TV, had the entire TV system go on, not just TV, but the cable box, the stereo, everything went on four times by itself, even after we had collected all the remotes. And then, of course, I had my first UFO sighting that night. So there were some interesting things going on, some PK stuff going on that was fascinating to me. It was great to actually experience it firsthand. And yet I can't go off on a limb and say that was a ghost or a spirit that did that, because I can't rule out PK. Can't rule out psychokinesis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And frankly, there was some, you know, some good reason to think there was some PK at work on that case, which we ultimately withdrew from, because frankly, he would never release any evidence for us to review. And I know MUFON's having the same problem with him now.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Stan was a nice guy, and occasionally he pops up again. And, you know, it's just like, I personally always thought that some of his claims were a little out there. I mean, because Stan would make a claim and say that he had 49 witnesses that saw the same thing, and yet there was never any documentation that verified. And now I'm not saying he didn't see that or that there weren't 49 people there, but if you're investigating something like that, it goes a long way if you've got 49 signatures.
Stan's case is interesting because there are a couple of things that we have a hard time explaining, just a couple of things. There are some things that we can explain and we feel we're fabricated. But there's a couple of things that we had that, and that's what makes it so frustrating, because there are just a couple of minor things that we just can't explain. And they do seem to be something more than just somebody fabricating, because we've ruled that.
Yeah, and the way we approach investigations is that, you know what, Stan and his family, they're nice people. And, I mean, you know what, they're good folks, and they believe what they believe. And, so, you know, as you said, Doug, there were some pretty odd things going on around their place. And I remember when you did the investigation, they were kind enough to open up their home and everything else, which is
very, very,
very gracious and very, very, very nice people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we didn't agree with them, you know what, we still, you know, respect their right to their opinion, you know, and so
we wish
the best.
And we had to withdraw because there just wasn't the cooperation we needed, and frankly, I wasn't going to risk my reputation or that of Paranexus. I just wasn't, you know, regardless of that. But it's neither here nor there, but there was some interesting stuff. And so, you know, that continues to lead us on. Where are we going from here, Grant? I mean, what's the next step? Because, you know, after all this time, we're still waiting for, you know, the really high strangeness cases. We're still waiting for beyond belief, personal experiences, which haven't come for the most part yet. You know, so that's why I guess we're focused on this anthropological aspect, the psychological aspect.
Well, it's just as fascinating as, you know, the flip side of the coin. And we want to collect more data on it, and then we want to just kind of cross-reference it. You know, how many of these cases where people feel that their home is haunted, their business is haunted, how many of them might have psychic abilities that they're not aware of, or other types of things? What's going on physically in the structure? Are we having, you know, I mean, we're sophisticated enough now in a way that we can start looking at research in certain areas. I mean, even on Paranexus, you can go there and you can see, you know, where magnetic and geomagnetic anomalies are. And I mean, if we even refine that further, we may be able to determine that in that particular area where the haunting's going on, is that maybe they have some unique natural features in the area, underground water, underground caverns, who knows? But we really wanted to look at doing that research in combination, because one of the things I think that was that Dr. Roll said a couple weeks ago when he was on the show was that, you know, he attributes a lot of hauntings to high EMF,
mm-hmm.
Okay, whether it's natural or whether it's man-made, underground water, that's right, yeah, underwater things, the natural geography, the interaction of various fields in that particular home or location. So there's a lot of different things in combination with the human factors that we really want to take a look at. And we're not saying that other folks haven't done it. We're just going to look at it and try to find things that are unique about it that we can try to document.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's why, and that's really what we're trying to say here. Yourself to really look at it and to get away from preconceived notions, from belief systems that, and, I mean, we're people, and people want to believe. I mean, that's part of human nature, the need to believe, the need for hope. And it's so easy, especially when you experience something firsthand, that may have a natural explanation, but it doesn't seem like it. And I always, I've been using this analogy. If you've ever seen a magician like David Copperfield, there's one of these really great magicians, and they are amazing. I mean, it's just amazing what they can do, and you're just scratching your head saying, how in the world did they do that? I know that they're not magic, but they pulled it off somehow. And so you take that line of thinking, what could be responsible for this, and keep beating away at it until you come up with something. And when you cannot rule out or cite a natural explanation for it, then, yeah, let's take a look at something else. And it's so important to think for yourself and not get cornered.
But they're almost preconditioned. Most folks are preconditioned that if somebody is like a – you look at guys like David Blaine or Chris Angel,
right,
and when they're doing their tricks on the street, people know who they are.
Right.
So they already have a preconceived notion that's going to have their socks knocked off. So they're not looking as closely as they should. Now, I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that I catch those tricks, but, you know, illusionists are, it's all about deflection and not seeing what's going on.
Right.
And I mean, there's a comparison there between that and people's belief systems, because you know what? People can deflect you with their belief systems. People can, when they embrace that belief system, they can stretch reality.
Well, they can, and even in the interview, by omitting certain data that, you know, we're softening it or embellishing or not giving the full story on some of the tough questions that we asked in terms of drug addiction.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, because a lot of times in initial interviews, whether you're sitting across from a psychiatric client or whether you're sitting across from a guy who's on probation or whatever, they're feeling you out too.
Right.
And a lot of times they're not going to tell you what you think they should be telling you. I mean, it's no brainer. Most people know that. You don't have to be, you know, a clairvoyant to figure that part out. But that's part of, you know, that testing, pushing. And so when you're doing like an initial interview or something, you really got to look for those subtle things in there that are saying either resistance or I'm holding back and not telling you what I need to be telling you, and it's going to come out in other ways. But you know, you really have, that's one thing you have to look for.
And you have to have experience in life to, and think practically and be a real life human being when you're going through this, understanding how humans act. I mean, think about your own life, how you act yourself, or how you've noticed other people. You know, get real. It comes to mind. And so it's all around this: think for yourself. Don't let others corral you into a corner with their own thinking. And it goes all over the place. I mean, there's the mainstream scientific thinking, where many of them believe that parapsychology is a pseudoscience, and they say that. And you know, they've got their own beliefs. They, you know, this is a science, this is not. And that always angers me, because all of the stuff that you see out there, all of the sciences, all of these religions, all of the concepts there, all of it, all originated in the same place, and that is in some person's mind. It all came from one person's mind, and then, of course, evolved over time from other people's input. But the point is that one is as good as another, typically, at least on the drawing board, and then you begin to develop it. So who can rightly...
Well, pretty soon, you know, it's like, if you chase the dragon long enough, you become the dragon.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, look at your structured religion, and they end up doing that.
That's true. It's just that don't let mainstream anything just determine what you think and who you are. You determine that. As a researcher, you look at the evidence, you look at what you're dealing with, and then using reasonableness and remaining grounded, analyze it. What seems to make sense, being careful not to go out too far on a fringe and not going anywhere without any real substantiation. But then you get to a point, okay, well, maybe we need to create a hypothesis or do a little speculation here based on available facts. Fine, but don't go out and say, yeah, this is what happened, if it's a unprovable thing. And you know, that's the point. And my biggest point is, think for yourself, damn it. Don't let others think for you. Look at the evidence, but be careful to safeguard your reputation and your credibility, because in this field, without that, you're nothing. I mean,
well, I think a lot of folks, in the temptation when you get in a group, okay, and you're working in a group, is that you get into group think.
Right.
And that's, you know, exactly. And then what happens is if something happens, what's really interesting is anybody who's in a group or who is forming a group or has been working in a group for a while will understand the dynamics, because any good groups that you finally get a nucleus, you got to go through several people before you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting, because some of the early folks that you may stumble across, all of a sudden something may happen in an investigation. Somebody gets an EMF spike or something. And then there's some people that don't say anything, and there's other people that are like going over the deep end. It's like, oh, my God. Like, you know, you just seem getting all worked up because their belief system's already got them ready to go, it's a ghost.
Yeah,
it's a ghost. It's a spirit. It's this. It's that. You know, and when that happens, you throw all your data right out the window.
Well, we have a couple of callers, so
right.
Let's.
Somebody wants to talk to us tonight.
Yeah, let's see if we can. Hi,
we want to talk to you.
458 area code. This is Doug. You're on the air. What's your first name?
Yeah, my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Pretty good. I just wanted to ask you guys if you were for the extermination of niggers. Nigger, 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 nigger.
All right.
Wow, that's pretty clever. Which planet did you say you were from, sir?
Oh, he's gone.
Okay.
Well, let's take our second caller here.
You sure that wasn't Glenn Beck?
Let's. It takes it a second to click over here. Hi, Johnny, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good. Do you have anything offensive, or you have a good thing?
What do you mean by that?
No, you didn't hear the previous.
Our last caller was pretty offensive. He insulted the African Americans in our.
What was
audience.
He calling them, niggers or something?
You guys know each other, don't you?
Who?
Oh, no. Okay, what's on your mind, Johnny?
I really had a question on the subject of anal rape.
Yeah, you guys know each other.
Only between friends, Johnny. What do you say? You and your best friend into it?
I knew that out of the blue these two callers had something. So I hope they had a good time. Now, back to what we were saying. I'm not going to honor them. Morons. You know, that plays right into what we're talking about here. You know, what have we said that's offensive? We're talking about open-mindedness. We're talking about looking at this thing, trying to understand the human condition better. And then we have, you know, the lower tiers of humanity call up and, you know, and offend other people who have lives. And, you know, I'm intolerant of intolerance, I guess. So it just irritates me that this is the kind of crap that we have to overcome as a anomalous research community, because, you know, not to the degree that these two callers did, but, you know, there's a lot of pity and fighting and bickering and not working together. And
well, you know, I think those two guys are the mentality. I like to call them the marching microcephalics, because those are the kind of people that string people up, you know, that are so far removed from folks in this field that, you know, they're kind of like, I don't know, they're like lost souls.
And
they're the true lost souls.
And we do have two callers on hold waiting to come on, and if those two callers are in the chat room, I'm going to have you say something in the chat room to let me know that you are a legitimate
caller. Oh, bring them on. We can handle them.
All right.
Bring them on. Let's talk.
I'll keep my finger on the button.
On its trigger, man.
335 area code. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, welcome to the show.
What's going on, niggers?
Oh, God. Right. Yeah, we fell into that one. If there is Jake Epperly on the line, if you're in the chat room, then say something, because I'm not going to take another call like that. If it's a legit call, type something in the chat room, and then I'll take your call.
I'm legit.
Oh, is that bollocks? Okay. All right, we'll give it a shot. Jake, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, I'm all for the extermination of niggers.
Okay. All right, guys. Hey, you know what is interesting about this is that they have nothing better to do than to call up radio shows. And they've all gone.
Well, you know what? I think they got their sheets on with the holes facing backwards so they can't look out. So, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway.
Well, that's unfortunate, you know, because we really haven't had that happen that often. So,
really
we apologize for the fact that there's, like, people out there that are walking around that are so full of hate and intolerance that they feel that they got to, you know, use us as a platform to spew their negative.
Yeah, and why would they be on this, you know? I just hope that these people are not.
Sorry, folks, but you know what? We still want, you know, if you got any questions or you want to make a comment that is pure racism, please call us.
Yeah. And whoever's on hold, 478, you know, I'm sorry, we're not going to take the call. I don't have the numbers. I mean, once they're gone, they're gone. So if this 478 caller is legit, we'll take you. But I better know you. And if you're in the chat room, go ahead and tell me something. Anyway, it just, you know, this grant, I mean, the thing that bothers me about this is what we're trying to outgrow, folks, this kind of mentality. I mean, this is what I hope for the human race, that we can
you know what,
past this kind of kind of crap.
But you know what the bottom line is people like that are full of fear. And you know what? Fear just breeds hatred and intolerance. And so you know the bottom line is that we just have to forgive them for, you know, being so narrow-sighted and myopic. So that's the bottom line. You know, they want to come on here and make derogatory comments about somebody based on their culture. That speaks volumes about what their belief system is, and that belief system is so repugnant that, you know what, we don't need it here, and our folks know that. So,
yeah. Let me go ahead and say something while I deal with this call. Okay, so is this the Mike that called up earlier and had the lewd comments, Mikey John? He's in chat. And, I mean, we've got three callers on here. Folks, you know, whoever's calling, I'm not going to keep taking these. So I've
just
got your,
click them off, Doug. No, give them a shot.
I'm going to give them a shot because I have their screen names, and I'm going to report them to Blog Talk Radio here. Okay, so Mikey says he didn't call before. And hi, Mikey, you're on the air.
Hey, niggers, what are you doing, niggers?
All right, I've got his number, and I've got Mike Jordan. And I've got another one, Casey Lane. And if any of you want to, you know, if any of you are legit, there's also a 702. Why? What did we get? I'm just not going to take any more.
Yeah, that's probably
good. I'm
going
to take all the numbers down here, and that way I'll have them. So, anyway, folks.
Well, that's the first time we've had that happen, where people have been that negative, calling and that nasty. So, hey.
Okay, so.
Anyway, we're like in the process of like always looking at the whole field from a different perspective. You always got to be turning it over and trying to kick stuff around so that you get a new perspective on things. And we really feel that's important, that, you know, if you keep that in mind and you always keep evolving and keep your group evolving, no matter what the size, then it won't get stagnant for you, and neither will your research get stagnant. Your research will be evolving just like you are.
Yeah. Well, we've only got 7 minutes here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy down their phone numbers, their screen names.
Great. Well, let me talk a little bit, too, while you're doing that, Doug. You know, folks, in the future, we've got Butch Witkowski's going to be with us. He's committed to being on our March 18th show. And if you're not familiar with Butch's work, I was fascinated by it, and I was disturbed by it. And I think it's going to be a really great show. That's March the 18th. And, we have offered Butch some extended time if need be. If you're not familiar with Butch, he's a retired police officer who's done investigations into UFOs, UFO abductions, and human mutilations related to abductions, which is a startling and very unsettling, a lot of the research that he's going to discuss with us that night. So if you're not familiar with Mike, check him out. I mean, with Butch, check him out. He does have a video on YouTube. He did he was one of the speakers at, I believe it was the 2009 MUFON convention. And join us that night. I think it's going to be a very exciting night. I think you're going to really be, it's going to knock your socks off.
I think it's going to be a really interesting one. All right, let me get these calls off the board here. Okay, Marky, legit call? Marky?
Yeah?
Hello? You're on the air. Good.
What's
right. on your mind?
What was the topic for this show again?
Hey, thanks for calling. We're talking about anomalous research.
Floral arrangements. How do you like to arrange your floral?
Okay. 702 area code. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Bill Wagner. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good. How are you, Bill?
Pretty good. Yeah, I just want to say I really enjoy your show, and I mean, don't mind these callers. We get them a lot too. But on the subject matter, I just wanted to say that I personally think that niggers are aliens, and they should be executed.
Oh God. Okay.
Okay, strap on that glue bag and keep on sniffing, buddy.
All right, got your number, Bill Wagner, and 929, Mark Lane. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, but all my niggas call me Mark.
Oh, okay, Mark, got your name, too. Thank you, and I'll be reporting.
Wow, we must have like, got caught in the skinhead.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, this is, different, so let's,
Yeah.
410.
Why don't you post my number?
Pardon me?
I'm the real Mike. I'm the real Mike, and I'm really a nigger in real life, so, you know, I can say the word nigger. Nigger, 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 nigger.
Oh, God.
Wow,
all right, we
impressive.
Got all right, guys, amazing. I've got all your numbers. I'll be taking it, and, get a life. But it's
give our regards to Ed Metzger.
I don't know who that is.
He's the leader of the Nazi Party, the American Nazis.
Oh, yeah, really. But you know what? This is the first time in nearly 2 years that we've really had this kind of an onslaught.
Yeah, wow. Got targeted by hate, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah, you know, and that, I don't know, that just that whole thing, that hate. Because somebody has a different color of skin, you know, I mean, come on.
Doesn't make much sense.
That is so antiquated. It is so juvenile. It is so barbaric. It is so, so, so dark ages.
Yeah, pretty medieval.
It is. It just.
But that's why we like talking with our regulars. We know that you're just as appalled as we are, you know. And I mean, it's unfortunate because it really kind of is offsetting to some degree that people harbor so much hate against, you know, people because of the color of skin is different.
Oh, that's disgusting. So,
yep.
Folks, we're getting out of time.
Wind it up for tonight.
Yeah, we're getting out of time here, and we really wanted to spend this hour. We didn't have a guest lined up, and we wanted to talk about, you know, just have a conversation, Grant and I, about anomalous research, about where we're coming from. You know, hopefully we would have had some call-ins to chime into the discussion rather than to try to offend, other people and other races.
And any member of our audience, if you're an African-American, we don't adhere to any of that kind of garbage. And we apologize deeply if you've been offended by those people.
They're just, you know, the gene, part of the gene pool that needs to die out.
There's a very shallow end. They're de-evolving right before our very eyes.
It's really a terrorist attack of sorts. I mean, if you look at the chat
look
room.
Look at that, wow.
Yeah, Bill Wagner. And, you know, it's amazing. They're just terrorizing the chat room. So we'll take care of that. I'll get them reported. And so anyway, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Those of you who are regulars and who come to join us legitimately, we appreciate your time. Let's see, who do we have on tap for next week? Let me take a quick look. Next week, Dave Desjardins will be on the show. Now, Dave was just in the hospital, so that could be an iffy. Hopefully he'll be feeling better, and I'll get with him. Otherwise, we will post who's going to be on the show on Paranexus. If you're not a Paranexus member, we'd love to have you as a member, paranexus.org. And also, we just finished the blog module, so if you're a Paranexus member, you have access to that. And we'd love to have you post a blog, start a blog if you're a member. If you're not, come and join us. With that, we hope you have a great week. Look forward to seeing those of you who are regulars next week. And until then, have a great night.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Take care.
It's Paranex's universe.